Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. I am so excited to be with you. I am your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and this is the Healing Hour, and we are on PKN, that is Purpose Kingdom Network, and we're broadcasting live from this is blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom Radio. I need you guys to call in at 319-527-6091. That is 319-527-6091. Once again, like I said before, I am just so excited. I am so glad to be with you this evening. And I got so much to share, and there's so much to talk about. But first, let's dig into the word. I don't know if you guys know it, but PKN shares a scripture every morning. Every morning we get a scripture, and it is so inspirational and so inspiring to just wake up in the morning to a scripture. I mean, I don't know about you, but it does. It makes me feel good to wake up in the morning to a scripture. And I received not just a scripture, but a text with the scripture. And it is Psalms 37:25, King James Version. And it says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And then it just has a little loving quote, and then it says, David's testimony, although he have seen many adventures as a youth and faced many struggles throughout his life, he has never seen God neglect one of his children or forsake the godly when they are in need. God has never failed to make good, to show up on every single one of his promises. God is faithful. Be encouraged, family. Press forward. Having faith is what activates God's word, his promises. God's promises through his word is what keeps you and I from losing our minds when trouble knocks on our doorstep. God's promises is what keeps us keeping on when the going gets tough. God's promises is what causes us to declare victory even when the bills are not paid. God's promises is what helps us to endure hardships. To walk by faith and not by sight, God will never leave you hanging. Stay with God. God is always with you, and he has you covered. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Jesus loves you, and so do I. Have a blessed day, everyone. To God be all the glory. I don't know about you, but it feels good to just wake up to that message. It just feels great to just wake up to someone just telling you that God loves you and he's going to be there for you. I'm really not sure who sends the morning text, who sends the morning scriptures, but I just want to encourage you. Keep doing it. People are reading. People are listening. People are inspired. And you're doing a mighty work from God. And I just want to let you know personally that your words have inspired me on my day. So just keep going. You are doing the will and the work of God. And I'm telling you, there's nothing more precious. There's nothing better than starting your day with a word from the Lord. You know, I know that a lot of times when we wake up in the morning, the first thing we do is we look at our cell phones, we check our social media, we check probably texts or emails or phone calls. But before we do all that, why don't we just take time and just read a simple scripture, one scripture every morning. It's not a lot. Just start one scripture every morning. And a simple prayer. Nothing deep, nothing, you know, all too wordy. Just, Lord, thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for being God. It's something simple. I guarantee you, your day might be completely different if you started out with God. You know, we start our day out with so much bills, worry, concerns, work, getting the kids ready. I got 3 kids. I got to get ready every single morning. And it is not easy. But I make sure when I open my eyes, I look at a word from the Lord. Because that word will get me ready for my day. Just a simple encouragement. Just want to throw that out there. And like I said, to the individual who is sending those scriptures, I'm not sure. I don't have your number saved, but you have mine, and I thank God that you have mine. So let us get into our topic. So, praise God. The Lord has really, used me and is really using me with working on a particular topic. And in this topic, is something that I thought, you know, I never thought about, but God just gave it to me. And when he gave it to me, I was trying to figure out what to do with it, where to take it, you know. And because I teach a Bible study every other Monday, I said, wait, this is good. I got to share it with my family on Thursday. So I'm doing a series called Jesus, God, and Man. And the reason why I did that is because we understand Christ from the cross and then his ascension into heaven and then his return. But the life of Christ is so valuable to us. It's so important to us. The word says, think not that I come to condemn the law. But no, he said he came to fulfill it. In other words, I came to show you how to do it. Then the scripture says, hey, have joy in tribulations. Why? Because I overcame it. And God is saying simply, if I did it, you can do it. So we're going to study just the life of Jesus, the things that make Jesus who he is, and just how we can put it in our everyday lives, how we can rationalize it, and how we can use it. And it has been so, so, so rewarding just to understand when Jesus says, if I did it, you can do it. You know, one of the biggest things about Christianity is sometimes we have a tendency to serve God and we don't think that God really understands the things that we've gone through. You know, we love Jesus, but sometimes it's hard to put Jesus in our shoes. And then it's even harder to walk in Jesus' shoes because we don't always feel like Jesus gets it. And we use so many other examples like David and Daniel and Joseph and we have so many other different biblical characters and people to lean onto, but we never associate ourselves with Jesus. Another thing is that we've kind of been taught because Jesus is so much of a, because he's God, you know, it's hard to navigate him being God and him also being a man. But remember, even though he thought he knew he was God, he thought it was not robbery to come down here and be a man for us. So Christ, he said, I took pleasure or I understood the purpose in being a man. And he didn't think it was beneath him to get on our level and experience life as us. So we're going to dig into the word because, you know, I like to talk about Jesus. And I wanted to talk about him as a child. And I also want to focus on Joseph. All throughout the New Testament, Joseph is mentioned 5 times. Actually 6. And 2 of those times, they didn't even say his name. So we're going to talk about Joseph. Why are we talking about Joseph? Because even though Mary had a hard time with dealing with, you know, being the mother of Jesus, having a child before marriage and the scrutiny that came along with that, and then, you know, having to, you know, run into hiding while being pregnant, you know, she had all these struggles. And Joseph had a struggle as well. So we're going to kind of mark out the struggles that Joseph faced and how he dealt with them and what made him a remarkable man in the Bible without there being much mention. You know, I don't know about you, but to me, it takes a strong man to, you know, step into the gap and take care of a child that he knows is not his. But it also takes a strong man to know that he's raising the Son of God. So let's dig into the word. And we are going to look at Matthew chapter 1. And that is verse 18. And we're going to go to 25. And the word says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, there's a whole lot to unpack in all these verses. I mean, there's a lot going on here. And I really wanted to break all of them down. But before I can even get to all of this, we first have to understand this. The culture of that time, if a woman had a child outside of wedlock, she was made a public example and she was stoned. First for fornication, and then because she technically cheated on her soon-to-be husband, it was a stoning of adultery. And also at that time, they didn't bundle penalties. It wasn't like a package deal where, you know, one sin, you know, and we kind of bundled all the packages. They penalized you for every individual act. So when it came to stoning, you know, a lot of people just imagine, you know, we're just going to throw these bunch of stones at you until we get tired. They had a number. The same way Jesus had a number of lashes to take, they had a number of stones to throw. So not only did she get the number for fornication, she had the number for adultery, because in the beginning of the scripture, it lets them know that they were espoused, meaning they were engaged. And also, remember, at this time, this was not just a regular engagement. It was also with arranged marriage. So she already knew for a very long time that Joseph was going to be her spouse. So Joseph said, hey, I'm not going to allow people to hurt you. I'm not going to go through this process of shame. Instead, what I'll do is I'll put you away somewhere where nobody know who you are, where you don't have to, you know, be an outcast, and people won't treat you, you know, like you did something wrong. I'll just put you away. So this lets me know that Joseph was a caring man. And not only was he a caring man, he loved Mary. Because there's got to be a lot of people out there who look at that and say, oh no, she did what? Stoned her. She went out and got pregnant by somebody else and had the nerve to not just get pregnant by somebody else, but then call it God's baby. Are we really going to stone her now? And here we are. Joseph is trying to put her away. Then he had a dream. And in this dream, the angel lets him know, that, hey, this is God's child. This is God's child. I know your feelings might be hurt. You're trying to figure this thing out. But understand, this is God's baby. This is your Messiah. This is the moment everybody's been waiting for. And God essentially says, hey, I need you at this moment. I need you to protect my son. So he does it. And the scripture goes on, and it says that he began to get up, and he got them together, and, you know, he had to, you know, go forth and go through the process of Mary being pregnant. But there was also something else that he did. And a lot of people don't know this. One, the scripture tells us that not only did he stay by Mary's side, but he did not know her or had an intimate sexual relationship with her until after Jesus was born. So not only did he hide it, did he protect her, did he stay with her, but he refrained from, you know, an intimate sexual encounter until after Jesus is born. Then the last part, maybe a few people did not know, was the scripture says, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph named the Messiah. Joseph did it. And everybody thought that Jesus' name, his name just popped up out the sky and it was already his name. But Jesus was named by Joseph. Anyway, out of all this history and all this, you know, understanding, the one thing that I am aware of is that this process wasn't easy. This particular, you know, going through these motions, going through this problem, it couldn't be easy. In fact, it was so hard till another problem came in Matthew 2:13. It said in Matthew 2:13, and we're going to go from 13 to 15, it says, as soon as I find it, I scroll down. Matthew 2:13-15, it says, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Now, just this, something to throw out there. I know a lot of times we watch the Christmas movies, and, you know, I actually like the last one that came out with the animals, but the story doesn't add up. First of all, the scripture shows Jesus, and, you know, it shows Mary and Joseph running away while she was pregnant. Scripture says that they ran away after Jesus was born. So, you know, but in another account, you got to look at John's account, the story was different. So now we have to compare and figure out time frames. There's another time, we're going to get into that one day, but I just want to show that there are some versions of this story because we're getting the account of two different people. But the reality is that Joseph had to get them together and had to, you know, escape with them until Herod died. So we're going on and we're figuring out what Joseph had to do. So now we're going to get into something else that Jesus did. Because it doesn't seem like Jesus had the easiest childhood. I mean, the first portion of his childhood, he's born in a complex situation. The second portion of his childhood, or beginning of his childhood, he's running away and hiding because there's someone out to kill him. And let's just see how his troubled childhood keeps going. And we're going to look at Luke 2:41, and we're going to read from 41 to 52. And it says, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year to the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days and they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days, they found him in a temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and man. So, Jesus goes missing for 3 days. They go back to Jerusalem. They go visit their family. They go look for him at the friend's house. They can't find Jesus. Jesus is missing. And where do they find him? At the temple, talking to the doctors, asking them a bunch of questions. Now, I'm quite sure that this is the nice version of Mary talking to Jesus, because I guarantee you, Jesus, the Son of God or not, if one of your kids was missing for 3 days, and you go and you travel 3 days looking for your child, I don't care if he's injured. Matter of fact, that might be the place he needs to be when we find him, because it's not going to look good. Jesus, instead of saying, sorry, Mom, I was here, he says, don't you know about my father's business? Now, let me tell you this. Now, everybody on here knows Pastor Tor. And I'm quite sure, you know, she has children and grandchildren. But if one of her children or her grandchildren will miss her for 3 days, and they tell her that they're about their father's business, I guarantee you, she might tell them, hey, well, I'm about to make sure you meet your father early, because you ain't just going to go around missing. Miss her for 3 days. And his response was, I'm about my father's business. And the frustration, the Bible says they were sorrowful. They felt like they lost him. They were missing something. So it lets me know that there was an emotional attachment that Joseph had to Jesus, because he said he felt sorrowful. And he was hurt that Jesus was missing. And here we are. Jesus doesn't even recognize the emotional state that they're in. The reason why I bring this point up is because I want to show people that Jesus is trying to figure out how to be human, how to emotionally attach to people, how to figure people out. And I know that people want to assume that Jesus had this whole human thing down pat as soon as he got there. But no, he was trying to figure out how to relate to people, how to associate with people, just like some of us. There are some of us who have a hard time with connecting, a hard time with, you know, getting to know people and sometimes having relationships with people. Jesus kind of had this thing going on too. So if you ever find yourself where you're trying to connect, you're trying to, you know, figure out, you know, just that the ability to humanly, you know, relate and get with people, it's okay. You can do this. You can figure this out, because Jesus had to do it too. Another thing that amazed me was that they were trying to figure it out. Mary was trying to figure out. Joseph was trying to figure it out. Another part of the scripture says that Mary hid these sayings in her heart. So if anybody had a great account of Jesus, it was Mary. I really want to show you something about Mary, because Mary did something amazing when it gets to the end after Jesus arose. But that's a later time, in a later conversation. And I want to point this out, that the emotional attachment, the emotional conflict that came with Jesus. Now, here we go. Because we're talking about Joseph, we're talking about his parents, we're talking about how they relate, how they connected to him. Was it hard? Was it difficult? We're also talking about Jesus having a rough childhood. His childhood wasn't all that easy. It wasn't all that peaceful. You know, he had to mourn the first portion of his life. He was born in a manger, the first portion of his life. And the manger is a barnyard. And when another thing that I always point out, that I constantly point out on the show, is that they say that Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothing. By definition, the swaddling clothing are the milk rags, are what they wipe the floors with from the animal milk in a manger, in a barn. So Jesus was wrapped in filthy rags. This is how he came into the world. Wrapped up in this. So, you know, as we get and we see what's going on, maybe somebody out there is having a rough childhood. They're having a rough time. They had a rough upbringing. You know, they were on the run, or they couldn't connect to their parents, or they didn't have a relationship with one of their parents, or they had a unconceived circumstance of molestation or rape or abuse, and you had no knowledge of your parents. Here we are, we see a Jesus that had a rough childhood. So if you had a rough childhood, I just want you to see that Jesus spent the first part of his childhood on the road because somebody was trying to kill him. So once again, we see Jesus saying, hey, look, I went through something as a child. If you are going or went through something as a child, I overcame it for you. We got to find ourselves in these stories. They can't just be words that we read. We got to find our spots. We got to find where we fit in. All right? So I also want to show you something else in the Bible. It is Joseph, and we're going to look at, no, not Joseph, I'm sorry. It's the book of John. We're going to look at John, and we're going to look at chapter 6, and we're going to look at 40 and 42. And this is when Jesus becomes, you know, that a man, and he first goes into the temple, and then he declares that he's the Messiah. Now, watch what happens. And it says, starting at verse 40, John 6, verse 40, it says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? There's also another account in John, in the book of John, where they called him, who, the carpenter's son? So, not only was Joseph had to, you know, take a back seat and really had to understand how to raise Jesus, they also made jokes about Jesus based off of Joseph. So the joke was the carpenter's son. You know, all throughout the Bible, they called him the carpenter. Or, you know, and that wasn't because, you know, I know we use it as a term of endearment. We use it as someone who builds us, for somebody who, you know, who allows us to grow and who shapes us. But back then, that was a slight. That was, you know, that was like you call shooting a dozen. They would say, hey, they're from the carpenter's son, talking about he's the son of God. So he had to live with this idea that, you know, they making fun of Jesus because of me. And as we go on, we find out that Joseph passes away. You know, history shows that he passes away. But they were making fun of Jesus because of Joseph. And maybe there's a father out there who was, you know, raising a child that may not be technically his. And you're trying to figure out how to raise this child. And, you know, you're the parent at home, but maybe he has another father. Or maybe the father's there, or maybe the father isn't there. And you're trying to connect with this child. And you're trying to build a relationship with them, and it may not be easy. There may be a disconnect. There may not be a easy conversation, or it may be hard because, you know, of who they are and the hurt that comes from not having the original parent in their life. And you're trying to figure out how to connect. So if you're that man, or if you're that, or you're that mother, Joseph had to figure it out. Like I said, find yourself in these stories. And if they did it, you can do it. Find yourself in these stories. If you have the opportunity, all you got to do is replace Joseph and put your name there. Replace Jesus and put your name there. And if you find yourself in that slot, you know, that's God speaking to you. That's God letting you know that you can do it. So, what I'm trying to get everybody to see is that Jesus had to go through a process of life just like you. And I'm using the story of Joseph because even though he wasn't talked about that much in the Bible, he played a significant role. You know, he wasn't, you know, the major story in the Bible. And I wish there was a lot more to know about Mary and a lot more to know about Jesus. And I guarantee you I'll probably dig in some history books and I'll find it. But just the parts alone where they're talking about his parents and they're talking about the lifestyle that they had and the life that they lived, you'll find out that it wasn't easy. Another thing was, Jesus had siblings, real siblings. I know we always talk about, you know, John the Beloved and his association and Jesus calling him his brother, but Jesus had real siblings. How did that process work out? How was it connecting, you know, the dots with them? Were they aware that he is the actual Son of God. How is it like to know Jesus? I mean, I don't know about you, but these are questions that I ask. You know, these are things that I want to know. You know, because it can be easy growing up with the Messiah. So, you know, I'm just curious, and the reason why I'm going on this journey is because I want to find myself in these stories. I want to find myself as a father in these stories. I want to find myself, you know, trying to figure out who I am in these stories and what Jesus has for me and how he can teach me through these stories. And I'm hoping you find you in these stories. I'm hoping that, you know, you switch the names out. And you begin to, you know, find your place in these stories. Another thing that I want to show you. There's another thing that I want to show you. And we're going to go back to the very first scripture I read. And it says that Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child. And then we go to 19 and it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and willing to make her a public, not willing to make her a public example. And then we move on and it says, then the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph was a dreamer. The Lord spoke with Joseph. And the Lord spoke with Joseph so much that the major incident in Jesus' life in the beginning, the Lord spoke to Joseph about those things. So not only did he trust Mary with Jesus, he trusted Joseph with Jesus. Because when things got rough, when things were going down, he talked to Joseph in the dream. And there's some of us who God may be speaking to us. And you're trying to figure out what to do because God is talking. It may be through a dream. It may be through someone, you know, someone prophetically sharing something with you. Or it may be through, you know, a text or a phone conversation. But Jesus may be speaking to you, or God himself may be speaking to you. Answer the voice of the Lord. Don't ignore the call because of your feelings and your emotions. Because God comes to you when it's inconvenient. He doesn't always show up when everything's peaceful. When everything's okay. When everything looks good. Your biggest purpose may come in chaos. It may come in confusion. Don't throw away the purpose that God has for your life because it's inconvenient. Because it doesn't look right. Because Joseph had to yield the embarrassment or the possibility of embarrassment of raising a child that wasn't his and, you know, looking at the Mary and the people asking questions and the big wedding that they had in mind did not happen because the Bible said they were married in secret. So, and I don't know if anybody noticed or not or know, but a Jewish wedding is a festival. You know, it can last between 2 days to a week. We're talking about a huge celebration, and that didn't happen. So you don't think there was questions like, hey, how come y'all didn't have that big wedding y'all were supposed to have? There were so many questions and you know, unanswered thoughts and murmurs and people talking. Even when you see later, you know, like I said before, Joseph was put into a situation where the carpenter thing was a slight, it was a knock, it was a joke. Don't be afraid of being laughed at. Don't be afraid of looking crazy. Don't be afraid of taking on responsibility that may not be, you know, it may not seem like it's yours. Right now, it is time to come for salvation. You're trying to figure life out, and you're trying to figure yourself out, trying to figure out what to do, where to go, how to respond, how to engage with people. You're trying to figure out who you are. Or maybe you're like Joseph, and you're faced with a situation that causes you to not always be confident. And, you know, it's not easy being where you are and who you are right now. And you're trying to figure yourself out. Maybe you're that person. So no matter who you are in this moment, the one thing I do know is that Jesus, he did it so that you can do it. There might be somebody right now who may feel like, you know, they can't get through this and they can't make it. But the truth of the matter is, you can't do it alone. This is not something that you can do by yourself. And I know that, you know, people want to, you know, say they need to get right before they come to God and they need to, you know, have everything together. Truth of the matter is, if you could get right, if you could have everything together before you came in, before you dedicated yourself to God, you would have did it already. Don't fool yourself to think that you can do it by yourself. I had a pretty traumatic, you know, childhood was not easy for me. I wasn't raised by my mother. I didn't have a relationship with my mother. I knew who she was. She lived around the corner from me, but she wasn't around. And when I say around the corner, I mean literally around the corner, and she wasn't around. And when I got older, you know, I had to figure out how to make amends and how to have a relationship with her, and it wasn't easy. But God showed me. Maybe there's somebody out here who has a parent, a loved one who wasn't always there, but you're trying to figure out how to connect with this person. You're trying to figure out how to love this person again. And if that's you, let's just start with connecting with a Savior. Because if we start with connecting with our Savior, Jesus will tell us how to do the rest. So right now, if you feel like you want to just connect with God and learn how to, you know, have someone in your corner who loves you and and you realize that you can't do this thing by yourself and you need a savior to help you along the way, I just want you to, you know, do a simple thing. All you have to do is just, you know, just recognize that, one, you know, you're a sinner, because we all are. And after you do that, you realize that, you know, that Jesus died for your sins. Not only did he die for your sins, but he rose for your sins, and he's going to come back. And you want him to come into your heart. You just want him to come into your heart. And you just want him to save you and cleanse you. And if you do that, you're part of the body. You're part of the family. It's just that simple. Right now I'm a prayer, and I hope that you're praying with me. Father God, we thank you for what you're doing here. We thank you for just another opportunity to talk to you. God, there's somebody listening who needs you, somebody who's listening who wants to have a relationship with you because they saw themselves looking for a savior, but a savior that they can relate to in some way. So God, as they begin to pray and they begin to confess with their mouths that you died for their sins and that you're going to clean them up and that you're going to give them a new life and you're going to be with them and that your love will never separate from them. When they make that declaration that they were a sinner and now they want to be saved by you, God, I want you to just speak with them. Talk to them. Let them know that you're with them and that they can depend on you and that they can rely on you. God, talk to them. Talk to them the way you talked to Joseph, because Joseph was unsure at one point. Joseph was, he was trying to figure it out. And even though he thought he was doing the right thing in some instances, you know, you came and you spoke with him and you gave him a better way. And right now, somebody is looking at salvation as the better way. So God, come into their lives, do something new, and show them who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I am so glad to be with you this evening. And once again, like I said, I just feel like we need to understand not just Jesus, but who Jesus was as a man, not him just as a God, but him as a man. And I hope that somebody got something out of this. I hope that someone learned something and they were able to receive something, because, you know, I got something, I thank God that we're doing this teaching and we're doing this study and we're connecting with God in a new way. Right now, I'm going to turn it into the hands of Pastor Tori, and she's going to give us our announcement. And after our announcement, we're going to close in prayer.
Amen, amen, amen. Tori, but this is Brother Rob. All right. Great show. And one more thing before we just go ahead into the announcements. I just want to invite everybody to find the Bible Believing Teaching Preaching Sanctuary that will nurture you the Word of Christ. If you can't find that, that's why we broadcast here at Perfect Kingdom Network almost every night that we're able to broadcast, where you can hear a word of praise, a word of inspiration, a word of where you can find salvation. And we thank you so much for joining us and appreciating your listenership. You, the listener, no matter where you are listening to in the world, whether you're listening to us via phone or listening to us via online, we thank you so much and we appreciate you. And we love your continued listenership here with us at Purpose Kingdom Network. And with that being said, part of the announcement is as far as Purpose Kingdom Network, we have so many different extensions at Purpose Kingdom Network where you can connect and join us. And one of the things that we have is that we are on Facebook. We invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can just like us and you can see our continued advertisements for our shows. You can see upcoming episodes. And we gladly appreciate you sharing it with your friends, because together, you know, we can grow. And we thank you so much. And also, we're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. At any time after our live broadcast, you can hit the link and you can hit that replay. And we thank you so much. And anytime at your comfort and convenience, you want to hear any of our past or previous shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety at your convenience. And we thank you so much for those that choose to do so, and we appreciate, once again, your listenership. And with God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow night at the 8 p.m. hour, or 8:30 p.m. hour, for Self-Expressionist Sports Edition. And we thank and appreciate y'all that are able to continue and listen to Purpose Kingdom Network tomorrow evening. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for Self-Expressions Sports Edition with Brother Robert Pop Hudson. Once again, we thank you for inviting your friends to listen to our upcoming broadcast. Also, as Reverend Arthur was mentioning, that we do have our continued morning walk with prayer on anchor.com with our morning walk. We hope you visit our many media extensions that we have, where you can go ahead and listen to that morning walk of prayer. It is a morning of inspiration, and we hope you are encouraged to listen and also invite your friends. We thank you so much. And, you know, with that being said, this is the end of the announcements, and we're going to just turn the show back over and over to Reverend Burgess. Reverend Burgess, show is back in your hands.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Brother Rob, for those announcements. If there's anything Pastor Toy would like to say before we leave, if not, I am going to close in prayer. All right. We bless God once again for PKN and those morning inspirations once again. And we're going to close in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you are doing. We thank you for how you are molding us, you're shaping us, but you're teaching us, and you're progressing us, and you're showing us how to walk in these last days. God, give us the vision, make it clearer, and talk to your people in a way where they can not only hear you, but understand you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. God bless you. See you next week on the Healing Hour.
Jesus led.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me, I will not lose.